إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, we are talking about the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to do. And as I said yesterday, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you who believe, enter into Islam completely and fully and do not follow the footsteps of shaitan. Verily, he is your worst and open enemy. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْدِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْدِ فَمَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ يَفْعَلُ ذَلِكَ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يُرَدُّونَ إِلَى أَشَدِّ الْعَذَابِ وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that, is it that you take something from the book and you leave out the rest? And if you do that, the jaza, the reward for those who do this is a hard and harsh life in this world, and on the day of judgment they will be turned towards the worst punishment, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not unaware of what you do. I remind myself and you that Islam means to submit our desires to the deen that Rasulullah brought. Unfortunately, today we do the opposite. We want to submit the deen to our desires instead of submitting our desires to the deen. And so in all our life, we have introduced all sorts of customs and practices which do not belong there. Yesterday, I mentioned some of them concerning marriages, all of which you are well aware of. One of the primary ones is to have a dinner or a something on the day of the nikah, which is not the walima, something other than the walima, which is generally hosted by the bride's parents or bride's father. This is not from Islam. This is something which has come from somewhere. And obviously, those doing it and those participating in it are equal. This is the basic principle of Islam with regard to everything, those doing and those participating. Similarly, we have customs with relation to death. The correct way when somebody dies is first of all to try to do the tadfeen, to do the funeral as quickly as possible, not to delay. So that is one thing we do, which we do. We say, no, we are waiting for the son to come and the daughter to come and somebody else to come from somewhere, and they have, somebody lives in America and somebody lives somewhere else, and so we have to wait 1 day, 2 days. This is against the principles of Islam. So we must do the tadfeen, the funeral, immediately, as quickly as possible. Number one. Number two is transporting a body from one place to another unnecessarily when there is no need, meaning that there is a Muslim community in that place. The janaza can be read, there is a qabristan, there is a cemetery where the body can be buried, yet you want to transport this body to your family graveyard, which is in some other country or wherever. This is again prohibited in Islam. There is no dalil for this. The body must be buried. Where you die, you are buried. Whichever country that might be, the earth belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Third thing is, the correct way is, as soon as person dies and death is established, then you do the ghusl of the person. I am not going into the details of ghusl and so on, which we have been doing workshops on that, inshallah we'll do again. You do the ghusl of the person, you do the kafan, and then you pray salatul janaza, which can be prayed in the masjid, which can be prayed by the gravesite or anywhere, and then you bury the person, you put the person in the grave. That's it. There is nothing else to be done either before or after. Now, what do we do? We, in the ghusl or after the ghusl, In the coffin itself, we will put sandalwood powder. Yeah? Where did we get sandalwood powder from? Tell me, where was sandalwood in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time? Were they putting sandalwood powder? Sandalwood powder comes from Hindu puja customs. They put sandalwood powder and then they write La ilaha illallah in this sandalwood powder. Then when you are burying, they will tell you, at least I am talking about Hyderabad, they will tell you to give khulke dalle. I was absolutely shocked when I heard this thing. Khulke dalle. Kya hai khulke dalle kya hai? Chikad ka dalla leke, uske upar khulo Allah has padke dena kate usko. So you take this mud and you recite Suratul Ikhlas on this mud and you give it to the person who is in the grave and he is burying the person. So this mud is plastered, after you put the slab on the body, then you plaster the mud and this is done with this khulke dalle. Where did this come from? After the ghusl and kafan, another practice which is nothing to do with the sunnah, which is the so-called didar. You open the face for people to see. Where is this from? Especially if it is a lady, it's even more prohibited. Even for a man. A person died is died. Then, we have all kinds of stuff. They will not allow the body to come into the house. They will do the ghusl. They will not allow the ghusl to be done inside the house. No, take it outside. We treat the body as if it is garbage, as if it is some dirty thing, bad luck. This whole issue of good luck and bad luck, of ashubh and shubh, is from Hindu mythology. This is what Hindus do with their bodies. They will not touch it, they will not come near it, they will put it outside the house, they will not let it inside the house and so on and so forth. It's an absolute tragedy. The person who died owns that house. And the people who are now saying the body cannot be brought into the house are the people who are going to benefit from that heritage of this person. Right? They are the ones who are going to get the... They are the heirs. Yet, their own father's body, their own mother's body, they say, no, cannot come inside the house. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So the body is left outside the house. Keep outside the house. Then another one. Where the body is brought inside the house, or where maybe it's not inside the house, it's on some veranda or some platform somewhere. They will give each person one sipara of the Quran, right? And usually these are servants or within quotes lower class people. So they all sit around the body. The body is on this table or this takat, and they all sit around the body and they are reciting Quran. And all our high society people are sitting on chairs and then they are talking about, I don't know what they are talking about. Price of God knows, cars or Louis Vuitton handbags or something, Allah knows. These are things which are happening right here. Ajib, I mean, I have heard of let me not go into this. I mean, that list. The point I'm making here is that, one more, I must say this. This happens mostly in the West, which is of women going to the graveyard. One of my, somebody passed away, the father passed away. So, one of the daughters was here in India. She also went before the father passed away and then the father passed away. So, other sisters were there in America. So, after they came back, we went to meet them, and she was this lady who went from here. She says to me, they asked me to come to the graveyard. So, I told them it is not permissible, it's not permitted. Women are not allowed to go to the graveyard at the time of the burial. They said, no, don't worry about all that. In America, we do all this and all that doesn't apply. So, she said, well, everyone was going, so I really didn't want to go, but anyway, I went along. I said, how was it? She says, terrible. She says, it was the most excruciatingly painful experience in my life because I was seeing my father being put into this qabr, into this grave, and then, you know, the qabr is being filled, so the mud is being thrown on my father. She said, it was an absolutely traumatic experience for me. I regretted that I went. She said, I could not sleep the whole night. I said, but your sister slept. It was not traumatic for them. Because our hearts have died. Our hearts have become hard like rock. They are dead inside. So, nothing has any effect. Now, this is the result of disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, we bring all these customs and practices from God knows where into our lives. And this is the result of it, which is there is no peace, there is no harmony, there is no sukoon, there is no sakina, there is no tranquility. And where you still have tranquility, it means your heart is dead. That's why Imam Ghazali rahmatullah used to say, do not mention death. If you have invited people for a meal and people are eating, don't mention death at this time. Not because of good luck and bad luck. He said, don't mention death because if the heart is alive, the person will stop eating. So, you invited them for a meal and you say something which takes away their appetite. Now, they can't eat anymore because they are now thinking about death. So, how can I eat this food? And he said, if they continue to eat, it means that their hearts are dead. Why do you want to expose them to others? It's a shameful thing to say that your heart is dead. Now, today, how many of us have seen this? And everywhere, people go to funerals. They go for a janaza and they are talking on their cell phones and they are, joking and laughing and all kinds of things. And this is happening while the qabr, the mayat is there. The mayat is there, the cover is open. This lanat of cell phones. I have seen somebody inside the cover, while they are burying somebody, the phone is ringing. Yeah, so who is that? Malakul mouth for you? Ajib. I mean, we have converted something which is supposed to be a convenience into an azab for ourselves. The phone will ring in salah, the phone will ring inside the qabr, the phone will ring in tawaf, and inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Submitting Islam means submitting our will to the will of Allah. So also the customs of ziyarat on the third day. Our Urdu speaking people must learn some Arabic. Ziyarat means what? Means to meet somebody. I wonder what will happen if the person you want to meet comes on that day. Somebody dies, third day you have a ziyarat and he turns up. Then you will have many more ziyarats after that. On the third day ziyarat, on the 40th day chahallum. One of my friends, he called me and he said, kal aao meri chahallum ki daawat hai. So I said, Diwana hai ka? I said, he said, come tomorrow with my chahallum daawat. I said, you're crazy. He said, no. Chahallum biryani is the best. So I thought, let me eat my own chahallum biryani. Why should I wait for somebody else to eat after I'm dead? So I'm having this. So his 40th day ceremony after his. Where do we get? These are all this 20th day ceremony, 3rd day ceremony, 40th day ceremony. All of these are Hindu customs. They have come into Islam in the subcontinent. India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, I don't know what happens in Bangladesh, but definitely all of this stuff happens in India and Pakistan. None of this is from Islam. All of this is shirk of one kind of or another. Barsi, annual, I don't know, what do you want to call it? Annual celebration, Achhava Marga Buddhaval. Then you have this all. Oh, he used to like this, so therefore you cook all those dishes. Inna lillahi. Barsi. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. All of these are shirk. All of these are haram. All of these things must not be done. There is dignity in Islam. Give the person ghusl. Put the kafan. Bury them. And then make dua in tahajjud for those people. You will insist on doing a ziyarat. But after the person has died, You will not wake up in tahajjud and pray for them. Children will not pray for salah in the masjid. They know this is a benefit which goes to the parent who has died. They will not do that. To do this ziyarat after on the third day or to do the chahallum on the 40th day, this is easy. Also some excuse to eat biryani. Please, this is not Islam. This is not Islam. Yeah, let us wake up. Let us not fall into this trap. Let us ensure that we follow Islam completely. And if you don't want to do that, then please refer to the ayat of the Quran which I mentioned, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that if you want to pick and choose, then this is the punishment. I will make your life in this world difficult and I will give you serious punishment on the day of judgment. The most severe punishment, ashaddil adab, the most severe punishment on the day of judgment. Why? Because we have made our will superior to the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from ourselves and to enable us to do that which is pleasing to Him and to save us from that which does not please Him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.